In verse 11 of Psalm 50, we're just saying of the Lord who will show his people the wonders of his salvation. And that's exactly what we see in our text this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the wonders of God's salvation for his people Israel, which then also points to the wonder of the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus. So please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And our text will begin at verse 3 to the end of the chapter. So before chapter 7, Samuel has been called to be a prophet of the Lord. That's the end of chapter 3. And then beginning chapter 4, the Philistines come and attack Israel, and Hophni and Phinehas take the Ark of the Lord into battle. The Israelites are defeated, and the Ark is captured by the Philistines, and the Ark goes on a seven-month tour throughout the land of the Philistines. And then as we come to the end of chapter 6, the Ark returns to the people of Israel. And then we begin our reading in chapter 7, where just after the Ark has returned, the Lord has to strike down some of the people of Israel for looking on the holiness of the Lord and showing disrespect for looking into the Ark and the contents of the Ark. So the Lord judges them and strikes some of the men down at Kiriath Jearim. And then we take up in chapter 7, and the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the Ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the Ark of the Lord. And from the day that the Ark was lodged at Kiriath Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And here begins our text for this morning. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." And so they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion. And they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel. And he built there an altar to the Lord. So far, God's reading God's word this morning. Our text, as we've just read, is verses 3 to 17. So please leave that open as we work together through that passage and hear the wonders of the Lord's salvation for his people. Beloved and brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was customary for John Calvin to sign the end of his letters with the picture of the hand holding out a heart. And the Latin, which translated into the English phrase or sentence that was around that hand holding out a heart, was the words, "To you, O Lord, I offer my heart promptly and sincerely. To you, O Lord, I offer my heart promptly and sincerely." And that has become very well known as the John Calvin crest or the John Calvin emblem. And I was reminded of this when preparing this sermon, because Samuel's instruction to the people of Israel is about directing their hearts to the Lord. You see, because throughout Israel's history, they had been a people who were slow and they were insincere in their worship and their devotion and their service to God. And yet throughout Israel's history, God had continued to show himself as a God who is not slow and a God who is not insincere in showing mercy and compassion and love and salvation for a people who did not deserve it. And this is what we see in our passage in 1 Samuel 7. Israel were continually lured by the nations around them to serve the other gods, the Baals and the Ashtaroth, as we see in our text. And so they lacked a promptness and sincerity in offering their heart completely and wholly to the Lord. And this passage is also very relevant for God's people today. Because as we go about our lives in our own weakness, we're often lured by the temptations of the world around us. There are many attractions and distractions for God's people. And in the busyness of our lives, we also struggle with a promptness and a sincerity in serving God perfectly with righteous zeal and doing this quickly and sincerely. And yet God wants his people to know today, as he also wanted Israel to know, and what he did for them was that despite our own weakness and shortcomings in serving the Lord, God wants to reassure us and reassure his people that he has blessing for them. That through Christ and through the gospel, God's people may direct and turn to the Lord with hearts that are prompt and hearts that are sincere in worshiping him, in living for him, in a world that distracts and attracts us away from the Lord to serve him promptly and sincerely. And we're going to see how God does this for Israel, and we will see how he does that for his people today. And God does this through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's our theme for this morning. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ restores us to God's blessing. And firstly, we see that Christ's prophetic ministry instructs us. Christ's priestly ministry intercedes for us. And thirdly, Christ's kingly ministry defends us. Now, the context of our passage in 1 Samuel 7, historically, is the Philistines and the Canaanite religion and culture that Israel were continually confronted with. And it was a culture and a religion that, for Israel, seemed more attractive. It seemed more compelling and more productive than worshipping the Lord with their whole hearts. And as a result, Israel were continually lured away from serving the Lord, and consequently, they did not receive God's blessing in living in the promised lands. We see that before chapter 7, where the Philistines oppress Israel, they're attacked and defeated. Israel were brought into the promised land, given God's law and instruction how to live in the salvation that he had given them. And yet if they were disobedient to that, God would punish them. They would receive God's blessing through obedience. Now we read about God's displeasure upon Israel's disobedience throughout the book of Judges, which comes before 1 Samuel. We read about God's displeasure on their insincerity. What continually comes up in the book of Judges is Israel's turning away from the Lord and turning to the gods around them. And so they lacked a sincerity in serving him. But the Lord was also displeased for his people because of their slowness in heart. If we look at verse 2 in chapter 7, for 20 years Israel were lamenting their condition. And so there is an insincerity and a slowness in turning to the Lord over that 20-year period. And as we come to the end of that 20 years for Israel, it's God who initiates salvation for his people. It's God who is going to initiate a blessing again for his people Israel. Israel were not experiencing God's blessing because of their unfaithfulness, and consequently they experienced the oppression and the misery of the nations around them. And yet we come to chapter 7 where we're going to see God, who works the wonders of salvation, initiating and coming to his people, restoring them unto blessing. And he does this through the ministry of Samuel. Samuel calls to the people of Israel and says, if you are returning to the Lord your God with all your heart, put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart and serve him only. And we see in verse 4 that this is what the people of Israel do. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth from among them. Now it's easy to read this without appreciating the wonder of what God is doing here. Through his prophet Samuel, he is restoring his people unto blessing. There is a national repentance taking place at Mizpah. After years of unfaithfulness, after years of half-hearted commitment to the Lord, we see a people who are turning their hearts and directing themselves in service to the Lord. Samuel is leading the people of Israel in worship, leading them in confession of sin. We know this because we see that the people of Israel pour water out. Now, basically what that means is that Israel are symbolically saying, Lord, as surely as we pour this water out on the ground, so surely are we pouring out our sins before you. Israel are renouncing their sins, confessing their sins, never to return to them again. And brothers and sisters, we need to take a moment here to pause for ourselves and think about how we are following God's instruction to confess and renounce our sin. This morning, we confessed our sins to God. We heard his law and we sang from Psalm 51. It's easy to do this just with our ears and with our lips, yet our heart being far from actual confession and repentance and turning to the Lord. And so let's reflect on this past week and think about how have I turned and directed my heart to the Lord? Was I slow in turning to God this past week? Were there other attractions and distractions for me that I spent more time enjoying than enjoying time in God's Word? Has my heart this past week been more preoccupied with idols than preoccupied with the Word of the Lord, from where we have his blessing? And there are many distractions and attractions for God's people today. Here Israel are called to confess and renounce their sin, and so also every Sunday God calls us to come into church to confess and to renounce our sins, to be reflective in examining our own lives. Is there a willingness in our hearts to give devotion to him? Spending more time on YouTube or Netflix than spending time in God's Word. It's a real danger for young people, especially with smartphone technology. Research is saying that young people are becoming more addicted to their phones than addicted to God's word. And what about the dangers for young people when it comes to pornography? When it comes to comfort food, when we're stressed, where are we turning to in times of trial and times of tribulation? Is it the idols of the world, or is it the blessing that we're going to receive from God's word? And so in this first point, we're being instructed to examine our hearts, our lives before the Lord, to consider our sins, to acknowledge these to the Lord, to confess them and turn from them. Because it's not in these that we experience God's blessing. In fact, it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ where we're going to experience God's blessing. And so take today as a day of reflection. Maybe there are some serious sins going on in my life that I really need to repent and turn from. Sins that are going to lead to misery and eventual condemnation. And so turn to the Lord, confess these, acknowledge these to Him, and give devotion and heart service to Him. And we can do this because the Lord has provided salvation. We see this in our second point, because in our second point, it's Christ who is the salvation for His people, because He intercedes for us. And God is saying to His people, Israel, look away from the idols of the nations, look away from yourself, put away the Ashtaroth, put away the Baals. And where does God direct His people Israel to turn? He says, turn to the word of my prophet Samuel. Samuel gives the promise of deliverance if they look to the Lord. And so also we are called to look to the promise of God's salvation. And where is that promise found? It's found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, especially in His high priestly ministry. And we see that in our second point. Samuel was leading Israel back to the blessing of the Lord. And we read that the Philistines come and march upon Israel while this is taking place. We read in verse 7, now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against them. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Now, what strategy were Israel going to use here to get themselves out of this predicament? In chapter 4, Israel went to Shiloh to get the Ark of the Lord and went into battle. Were they perhaps going to go back to their Baals and the Ashtaroth in a moment of crisis like this, seeking their deliverance there? And you know, we can ask ourselves the same questions as well. When we are faced with moments of trial or moments of temptation, moments of great fear, as Israel were experiencing right here, and when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid. And so in our moments of fear, where are we turning? What is our strategy for escape? What is our escapism? And here we see, brothers and sisters, that we don't need to look to ourselves or anywhere else but to the Lord. Israel don't need to look to the false gods, because the Lord has provided deliverance for them. Israel don't need to invent their own strategy either, because God is initiating salvation here for His people through His prophet Samuel, and now through Samuel as the priest. Samuel was from the tribe of Levi, and here he is functioning in his prophet, in his role also as priest. We see that through the offering of the whole burnt offering. And so the people look to Samuel, the priest, and say, don't cease to cry out to us. They see that this is God's servant. And so they look to God's servant. And Samuel prays for them. And in looking to God's servant, Samuel, we see a remarkable contrast here with what happened to Israel in chapter 4 when they were defeated by the Philistines. Here, we will see Israel victorious. And so this is an act of faith for Israel. This is a faith moment. God says to them, if you turn from your idols, you put them away and you turn and you direct your heart to me and serve me only, I will deliver you from the Philistines. And this is what Israel are doing. They're taking hold of God's promise. They're looking to Samuel as God's servant, crying out for deliverance through Samuel, trusting that God will act and deliver. And so they direct their hearts in prayer to God through Samuel, through the Lord's servant. And we see that the Lord hears Samuel. Did you see that at the end of verse 9? And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Israel looked in faith to God's deliverance by looking to Samuel. And we know that Samuel foreshadows someone much greater than himself. We know that Samuel, in his prophetic and his priestly ministry, and as we also see his judging and kingly ministry in the third point, foreshadows the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who as prophet instructs his people to turn from their sins, to look to him, and experience and enjoy the blessing that comes from God. And we have confidence that God will hear us, because who the Lord Jesus Christ is, our high priest. He is the one who offered himself as the burnt offering. We saw that in verse 10. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who offered himself up as the burnt offering. He who was sincere and quick to serve the Lord with all his heart. Israel and God's people today still struggle with insincerity and slowness, brothers and sisters. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sincere to obey the Father's will. And he was quick to walk according to the Father's will. And so now the salvation that the Lord provides for his people is in the Lord Jesus. God says, look to my Son, the Lord Jesus, and I will see you as I see him. I will see you as one who is sincere. I will see you as one who is quick to serve me. And in that we receive the blessing of the Lord. And what does that blessing include? Well, we see that in our third point, where we see that the Lord defends and fights for his people. He delivers them. We see in verse 10 that as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines came to attack Israel. And in verse 10b, we read, but the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion. Now let's put our minds for a minute, several thousand years back, and think us being at Mizpah. Imagine being at Mizpah, a little town, unfortified, completely defenseless, without any means of defending themselves or attacking their enemy. Imagine ourselves being there, perhaps with our family, our loved ones, our children, our grandparents, our parents. And we're worshipping at Mizpah with Israel. We're confessing sin, turning to the Lord. Very much like what happens on Sunday. And then hearing the news of a Philistine invasion coming at the town of Mizpah. Very much like hearing if there was an approaching enemy upon the church right now. Here we are in worship to the Lord. The Lord directing the hearts and minds of his people in service to him. And then all of a sudden, hearing of enemies who are about to come onto the church. How would we respond? How would we react? Where would we look for deliverance? And we see that the Lord provides deliverance. because the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines. Now, the Philistines are confused because we need to understand something about thunder in the ancient Near East. You see, thunder was associated with the Baal god. The ancient Near Easterns believed that thunder was the result of Baal smashing two clubs together. So Baal was the god who conjured thunder. Baal was the god who conjured storms and lightning and sent the rain. And so when the Philistines hear this thunder, they're somewhat confused. They don't know how to interpret this. There's something going on that they didn't anticipate or expect. And so there is confusion amongst the Philistine camp. And yet there is something deeper than this, beloved brothers and sisters. It goes back to chapter 2. Hannah, in her prayer, she prayed that the adversities of the Lord will be broken in pieces against them. He will thunder in heaven. And so we see amazing contrast here in what God is doing for his people in chapter 4 and chapter 7. In chapter 4, God is delivering his people into the hands of the enemies. Yet in chapter 7, God is delivering the enemies of Israel into the hands of Israel. And so the situation is reversed in comparison to chapter 4. Here we see Israel victorious. Here we see salvation and deliverance for the people of Israel. The Philistines are confused, they're routed, they're subdued, and they are defeated. And the fulfillment of God's promise for deliverance and salvation is also true for God's people today. It's true for the church, and it's true for believers personally. God's salvation is both personal and corporate. When we were captives to sin, bound in Satan's grip, enemies of God, Christ was on the cross. Satan attacked Christ on the church and the church at the cross. When the Philistines came upon Israel to attack them, Satan also has been fighting against the church and against the work of the Lord. And when Satan thought that he had Christ at the cross, when Satan thought that he had destroyed the Son of God and the people of God at the cross, it was Satan who was confused. It was Satan who was routed. It was Satan who was defeated. And it was God who was defending and fighting for his people. Because on the cross was Jesus, the King of the Jews, King of his people, the one who defeats their enemies once and for all, who routs them, who confuses them. And so the blessing of Israel's defeat is also pointing to our own victory in the Lord Jesus. Now for Israel, it meant they regained their territories, and the Philistines no longer entered into their land. But what does it mean for God's people today? What does it mean for the church? Well, haven't we seen over church history how God's church has gone to the ends of the world, not only confined to Israel, but now to every nation, every tongue, every language? Because God is reclaiming a people for himself in the Lord Jesus, reclaiming back for himself, giving blessing back to his people through the work of the Lord Jesus. And this is going to continue until he returns. The consequences of Christ's victory are eternal. From the moment that he conquered sin and Satan on the cross, his word going out, conquering the hearts and lives of men and women. The gospel message going out, calling people in faith to the Lord Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that God's people are not going to experience troubles and trials and tribulations. It doesn't mean that having once been redeemed from the clutches of Satan and sin and death, that we no longer experience oppression, that God's people no longer experience trials and tribulations as the Israelites continued. This doesn't mean that tomorrow and this week there will be no temptation from the idols around us. There is going to be a constant wrestle against sin, against sinful desires, against our own weakness in serving the Lord with a pure and righteous heart, in zeal to Him every day. But what it does mean is that as Christ, who is the glorious and victorious King, by His Word and Spirit, He is conquering sin in the world, He is conquering sin in our own hearts, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, He is also working in us a zeal, a sincerity, a promptness to serve Him and to love Him and live for Him. We know this because of the work that He did at the cross. And we have full confidence in the Lord Jesus. So we look forward to the victorious King, the King who is over heaven and earth, who thunders against His enemies. And so, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our daily service and living to the Lord, when it comes to being witnesses in our community, when it comes to the fear of having to share the gospel with those at work or those in a neighborhood, turn to 1 Samuel 7 and see the salvation of the Lord. That there is no need for fear for those who are in Jesus Christ. Because He is the victorious King who is conquering His enemies, who will conquer the hearts of your neighbors, who will conquer the hearts of those in your workplace. And so stand in faith and stand in confidence in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not in our own strength, not in our own escapisms, but in the salvation of the Lord. When it comes to standing up for Him at school or at work or anywhere, when it comes to living for Him and serving Him in obedience, take full confidence that your blessing is in Him. And that fullness of blessing will come to fulfillment in Him. Because God is going to convene again. Jesus Christ is going to intervene again. He will one day again thunder from the heavens. He will come again with His mighty angels, and He will rout and confuse and put away God's enemies and the enemies of God's people once and for all. He will deliver them from the oppression of evil and sin and Satan, delivering them and bringing them into the fullness of blessing, where there will be great joy and wonder to serve Him without fear, without anxiety, without oppression, without tears, without darkness, without valleys that cause us to ask and wonder, where is the Lord in all of this? Because we will enjoy Him forever in the perfect blessedness of the new heavens and the new earth. Amen.